creation of mental energy. The use of energy involves three steps: the creation of energy, the conservation of energy, and the projection or sublimation of energy. In dealing with the first step, we find that it is a practice which has been undertaken for many years in Asia. When we talk here about these three steps, we are focusing particularly on mental energy. Some mental energy is attained automatically from the body. The mind works when the body is awake, and the mental energy subsides when the body goes to sleep. When the body is asleep or anesthetized, the mind may be operative or able to receive impressions or even able to travel independently of the body. It should be said, then, that mental activity apparently subsides during the states of sleep and anesthesia to all external appearances at the time. Upon awakening, the subject may have considerable scope of memories of events and experiences during that state of unconsciousness or apparent unconsciousness. The accumulation of an increase in mental or neural energy beyond that which is needed for ordinary cerebration is brought about by various disciplines and exercises. It has been demonstrated that the manifest purpose of all somatic and neural energies is either to reproduce or sustain some entity system. In other words, the head of the male praying mantis has no value in the scheme of things once the orgasm is completed. The same with the male black widow spider. All of the cerebrations of that arachnid's lifetime are incidental to the momentary sexual destiny of copulation and immediate death. To generate any higher form of energy, it is necessary to be aware of our sexual nature and our sexual destiny, but not to despair that we will never have a better fate than that of being a factor in fertility. If we consider ourselves to be as helpless and programmed as the praying mantis seems to be, then of course there is nothing to do but respond to nature. I have mentioned many times that we should not take a collision course with nature, but there is such a thing as taking a vacation from the game of energy spending, sex, and reproduction. We are coming now to the subject of celibacy. Celibacy was one of the disciplines used to generate additional mental quantum, usually with the hope of finding essence realization or God. Unfortunately, some of the ascetics made the mistake of identifying nature with the devil. Sex was something to be abolished forever in order to make us worthy in the sight of God. If those same ascetics believe that God created man, body, and soul, then God would not be offended or abashed to look upon his own handiwork, and sex is part of the man. This intensive suicidal form of celibacy that made all sex into sin was not healthy nor necessary for evolvement. It is advisable to inhibit the sex drain on our energy to give some of it a chance to reach the brain, if nothing else. If the course of celibacy is initiated by a man, it should not be abruptly total in the inhibition of sexual practices, especially if there has been considerable or heavy sexual frequency. The aim should be temporary total abstinence from the conscious sex act. This last sentence was purposely expressive in italics, but still needs some explanation. By temporary is meant the number of years that are needed to reach our goal. We cannot start off by putting a time limit on the amount of time to be spent because we do not know how long it will take to bring about enlightenment. We must have only one temporal reservation about the duration of our search. We should promise nature that once enlightenment is attained, we will return to our natural destinies. But we must also promise ourselves that we will see the thing through if it kills us or drives us insane. Only such determination will make this exercise in between us effective. We go now to the next word, total abstinence. It sounds like an impossibility. It is an aim, and it should be an honest aim. The closer we come to letting automatic natural functions take over the sexual overflow of energy, the closer we are to peace of mind and mental freedom. Do not get discouraged, in other words, if this is not done easily in the first year. This last paragraph gives us more meaning for the last four words of the italicized sentence, the conscious sex act. The sexual habits are aggravated if we consciously identify with them. By the same token, do not think that you are free from sex if you are able to indulge in sex without caring. As long as you are voluntarily indulging in sex, you are encouraging a pattern of increasing frequency and hence more irresponsible leaning or rationalization in that direction. Non-identification or non-attachment is desirable as an attitude toward sex, but a person must be careful in trying to assume non-identification to a state of mind which might in reality be a state of calloused indifference to both the pleasures and penalty of sexual excesses. True non-attachment comes about with evolvement and takes sex as a means to the expression of friendship and beauty, without the need to feel compelled to reinforce any friendship with sex alone or to feel important in a scene that might have some beauty. To do and not be doing. It is in the study of sex that we find some meaning to the expression that energy travels over and is projected from the nervous system. The female orgasm is predominantly a neural orgasm, not necessarily a local physical titillation alone. Likewise, in drug experiences, the use of psychedelic drugs by sensitive people brings about a realization by those users that drugs like LSD produce a super sensuous experience that literally and almost visibly drains the nervous energy without any increase in blood circulation. There is no loss of energy from body actions and no discharges as in sexual sensuosity, but there is an intensely higher exaction or price inflicted upon the nervous system. The raising of the kundalini is not the only method of transmutation of sexual energy into mental energy quanta. Intense concentration has been known to drain physical energy to a point where the body would feel a pleasant upward surge of mental inspiration, accompanied by a physical, galvanic, but agreeable soothing of body tension. This is the use of betweenness by the mathematician or scientific genius, such as Nikola Tesla. They applied tension to their work for an extended duration of time and endured the body tension that generally goes with scholastic concentration. Only when the mind conquers the problem at hand does it relax, and after the mind relaxes, then the body relaxes, and this dual process of relaxing and victory enables the mind to become clearer and more astute in each exercise. This is the manner in which the Eureka experience is brought about that elevates man from the emotional level to the intellectual level, or man number three, a Gurdjieffian calibration. stop. I'm going to read the previous paragraph again, beginning in 5 seconds. The raising of the kundalini is not the only method of transmutation of sexual energy into mental energy quanta. Intense concentration has been known to drain physical energy to a point where the body would feel a pleasant upward surge of mental inspiration, accompanied by a physical, galvanic, but agreeable soothing of body tension. This is the use of betweenness by the mathematician or scientific genius, such as Nikola Tesla. They applied tension to their work for an extended duration of time and endured the body tension that generally goes with scholastic concentration. Only when the mind conquers the problem at hand does it relax, and after the mind relaxes, then the body relaxes, and this dual process of relaxing and victory enables the mind to become clearer and more astute in each such exercise. This is the manner in which the Eureka experience is brought about that elevates man from the emotional level to the intellectual level, or man number 3 in the Gurdjieffian calibration. Actually, such a surge of energy is an elevation of the kundalini, although the subject may not know it or even care to know it. Concentration, if persistent enough, will transmute the sexual energy and influence the direction of future sexual energy buildups. Most kundalini exercises involve concentration, and therein lies the real secret of raising that power. This is the magnificent exercise of reversing the downward vector. Ordinarily, the human body is so programmed that only a limited amount of mental energy is developed from the nutrition in the circulatory system. The male especially is capable of developing large amounts of sexual energy from ingested food. Such a factory is capable of contributing a proportionate distillate of that coarser form of energy to the neural or mental department. In my early 20s, when I first embarked energetically on the philosophic path, I encountered writings that told of yoga exercises that were supposed to do all sorts of things, from finding peace of mind and health of the body to ultimate wisdom. Those books never gave me an inkling as to which was meant by ultimate wisdom. I even received the impression that such wisdom was material, or of a sort that might lead to a better understanding of life processes, so that man could live to an indefinite age and use those extended years to solve the still larger problem of the divine or spiritual verities. I was immediately aware that the books on yoga proved nothing on the subject, and that even the Hatha Yoga claims had little basis or corroboration from Western health views. I must admit that my whole attraction to the yoga addiction was one of intuition. I felt that a person had to preserve the health, because a person that is dying cannot prospect bravely in spiritual matters. He will grasp the first straw that appears. Likewise, I sensed that sex was a trap and found no argument with the advice about celibacy. Also, I became a vegetarian without any argument. I believed that our individuality was based upon, or was qualified eternally by, that which we did or allowed to become part of us. I believed that the meat eaters were predators, regardless of whether they were part-time members of the local SPCA or not. We were secondly, then, that which we ate, and consequently not much better. Of course, in those years, I was obsessed with the idea of being better than the animals. It never occurred to me then that the human layman, unenlightened, was not much better off than the animal. It does not matter how intricately organized or specialized the bodies are if the entity itself does not know what it is. Consequently, one of the reasons for writing this is my promise in the ignorant days of my youth to the unborn youths of that time who are now born, that I would share that which I would find, even to these details, on how to live in health and sanity while pursuing the course that pragmatists view with tongue in cheek, and which they are sometimes inclined to denounce as a course prompted by or leading to insanity. There was no run around to advise me of the dangerous side effects of celibacy or of the danger of becoming addicted mentally to ideas that possibly had no real basis as being anything adducive to ultimate truth. And with many of the cult ideas, there was no basis of truthful direction in even the preliminary steps and the general tenets of their dogma. Celibacy is a science. It can kill you if you are not a skilled master of it. Many middle-aged priests die of prostate cancer because even in a monastery filled only with men, there is a pervasive bashfulness that prevents the asking of advice or the giving of it beyond the facetious advice to confess sexual indulgences. This type of attitude of celibacy being holy and indulgence being a sin leads to the development of a masochistic individual who really suffers mentally and emotionally all the while he is having pleasure with the body. It is no wonder that the Catholic Church is decaying. Its whole body, or at least the hierarchical head, is composed of sick masochists, if they have not yet discovered an intelligent attitude toward sexual sin. Celibacy is not holy, nor is sex a sin. Celibacy is a tool, an implement that we voluntarily pick up, knowing it is hot and that it may burn the experimenter. This paper cannot advise all individually about each individual approach to energy building through celibacy, because all men are constructed differently or at least have developed sex habits of varying intensities and types of sexual action. Fetishes, associations, particular inhibitions, plus a wide variety of subtle incidental factors must be taken into account with each individual case when giving advice. However, a few guideposts can be set up. One is that sex should not be attacked as evil.